guide our thoughts. Father, direct our steps. And God, I ask you for our children's hearts. Father, I pray that you would raise children who love you and serve you, who, Lord, as your word says, Lord, our sons would be like mature plants in their youth, and our daughters would be corner pillars, strong and beautiful, Father, even as young people. God, we thank you that your word is trustworthy, and you keep your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, hey, can you grab that door? Yeah. All right, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, while you're turning, let me just tell you a little bit of the premise of what we're doing here. This is not what I originally had intended to do with our January Bible study. I had been planning all year long to have a January Bible study. This is not what I was intending to do, but I will tell you, the Lord just would not allow me to get this off of my mind. Most probably because this is something that Allison and I desperately need ourselves. And so I want to acknowledge that my family is young. What that means is that the fruit of my household has yet to be seen, and I recognize that. And so this is not the product of years of experience that I can share with you, because I don't have that. My children are still young. This is not the product of research that I have done in terms of Allison and I have read a few parenting books. That's not what this is. This is not a parenting book. This is the result. Honestly, this is the result of a desire just to know, God, what do you say? God, what is it that you say that is important for parents and their children? God, what is it that, God, when you call yourself a father and that I am your child, God, what is that? What does that mean? And so what I want to share with you guys is, honestly, it really started back, and most of you may not have known this, but years ago, probably 5 years ago now, we had a young married Sunday school class. Jason and Taylor and Tyler and Sydney and Allison and I, Jim and Diane Wright were in that class, along with a couple other couples, one of whom is not even married anymore, unfortunately. And what we did is we went through the Proverbs. And we went through, and every verse that contained a word that had some sort of relationship to the parent-child relationship, and we stopped, and we would look at that verse. And we did that for probably 6 months, maybe. And I will be honest with you, that awakened in my heart, man, I had to go back. And so I took a year, and I went through, I did a search on every verse in Proverbs that contained father, son, mother, parent, child, lad, all of those words. And I pulled out every verse that contained one of those words. And there is much here. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. If you remember, first half of Ephesians is what God has done for us. Second half of Ephesians is our responsibility in light of what God has done for us. 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Discipline, that word discipline has the idea of activity. There are some activities that we have a responsibility to be a part of in our children's life. It has the idea of training. That word, it also means training. That there is some active training that God says, hey, fathers,
You want to know what your responsibility is? Here it is, right here. There's discipline, there's training, there is activity that you must be a part of in your children's life. And then the word instruction, this has, that word there is specifically verbal. There are things that our children need to hear. Fathers, this is our responsibility. There are things that our children need to hear come out of our mouth. There are words that we need to share with our children. And this is a responsibility that we have. But it says that we are to raise them up with the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We have this God-given responsibility. We don't have a choice to give them the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. What is that? What is the discipline of the Lord? What is the instruction? I mean the verbal. What is the verbal instruction of God that He says, hey dads, you better give that to your kids. Did God just tell us that this is our responsibility and then just leave us? Hey, you figure it out. No, He didn't. Proverbs. Now, let me tell you what the book of Proverbs is. The book of Proverbs is God's inspired word to God's people. How did we become God's people? Jesus, right? To those that believed on His name, He gave them the right to become what? Children of God. That through Jesus, we have the right to be called children of God. Proverbs is the book that the Lord and the Holy Spirit wrote out for us and it says, here is my instruction. Here is my instruction for life. When we say, okay, God, what is the discipline of the Lord? What is the instruction of the Lord that I have the responsibility to give to my kids? Proverbs. Everybody with me so far? Okay. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. It's a very familiar verse. Somebody read Proverbs 1, verse 7. Okay. Now, I want you to notice in the verse, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? So there is a way that you have to relate to the Lord, right? It's describing a way that you relate to the Lord. And then the result of relating in that way to the Lord is knowledge. So then the Lord, He is telling us specifically the way that we relate to Him. Equals beginning of knowledge. That's that verse, Proverbs 1:7, that's the theme of the book of Proverbs. God, in the book of Proverbs, God is describing for us how we relate to Him and the knowledge that He wants to give to us. That's the book of Proverbs. So we need to understand this. If I cannot gain the knowledge that He wants to give me if I don't understand how to relate to Him. The way that I relate to Him is to fear Him. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Okay, respect. Why do you respect the Lord, though? Who is the Lord? He's the Creator. Absolutely, He's the Creator. Why do we fear Him? And does it mean fear Him like we do like a scary movie? No, it's not that. It has the idea of respect. A healthy respect. What's the role of somebody who you have respect for? Okay, a father. Okay, that's specifically. Authority. Yes. You fear him, meaning that you recognize his authority, right? That God has the authority over our lives, right? So we fear him, meaning that we recognize his authority, but there's more. There's more to that verse. What's the opposite? In Hebrew poetry, which is what Proverbs is, most of the time you get two phrases. You get the first phrase, then the second phrase has something to do with the first phrase. In this particular situation, what you get is contrast. You get the first phrase, and the second phrase shows you the opposite of that. What's the opposite of fearing the Lord? It uses one word, the fool. Okay, the fool doesn't fear the Lord. What's the characteristic of the fool that we're given? Say that again. Despises wisdom and discipline. Let me read to you the New American Standard. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. The fool does not want to be taught. The fool doesn't want anybody to tell him what to do. He doesn't want anybody to give him wisdom or anybody to give him instruction. That's the opposite of the fear of the Lord. So to fear him means to recognize his authority and what? The opposite of despising wisdom and instruction. What would that be? Okay. How about rather than despising instruction, how about value his instruction? You guys see that? The fear of the Lord is to recognize his authority and value his instruction. God says, this is how I want you to relate to me. I want you to recognize the authority I have over your life, and I want you to value my instruction. That's what we're doing here, isn't it? In particular, with a parent-child relationship. Oh, God, I recognize, God, you are the one who created me. God, you are the one who gave me these children. God, you are the one to whom I will have to answer. God, teach me. God, show me. God, I want to know what you mean by your discipline. God, I want to know what you mean by your instruction. God, I want you to instruct me. God, I want you to teach me. To fear the Lord, to recognize his authority, value his instruction. Let me give you another word, a phrase, for the fear of the Lord. The way that the Lord wants us to relate to him is that before the Lord, we have a teachable spirit. Teachable spirit, that we allow the Lord to be the authority and to teach. That's the way the Lord wants us to relate to him. And then what is the result? When we recognize his authority, we value his instruction, and we have a teachable spirit, what is the result of that? Now you can gain knowledge. A teachable spirit is the prerequisite to gaining knowledge. Why is that? Can you gain knowledge if you don't have a teachable spirit? Can you gain any knowledge without a teachable spirit? A teachable spirit is a prerequisite to gaining knowledge. If you want to understand physics, and you go into physics class, and you think you already know everything that the teacher knows, how much are you going to learn from that guy? None. If you think that you already know how to build a cabinet or paint a car, if you think that you already know how to raise children with the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, the teachable spirit is a prerequisite to gaining knowledge. Now, everybody with me? Let me tell you where we're going. Let's stop right there for just a second, and let me tell you where we're going. That's just the intro. Here's what we're going to do. Over the next, this week, and then over the next three following Sundays, so four Sundays in a row, we're going to take the first Sunday in February because we missed last week. And what I would like to do is divide up the Proverbs that we have that deal with parent-child relationships into kind of four main categories. The first is the goal, and that's what we're going to deal with tonight. And then the father. Do you know the Proverbs deals specifically with the character of the father? Do you know the character of the father? One of the focuses on the scripture about parent-child relationship. We're going to deal with the goal, the father, the methods, and the motivation. Man, the motivation is strong, y'all. All right, the goal. If you don't know what the end product is supposed to look like, then you won't know what actions are important to take. If you don't know what it is we as parents are supposed to be raising, if we don't have in our minds a very clear picture of what our desire for the end product of our children, when they leave our home, what is it that I am trying to accomplish as raising my children? If we don't know what the end product is supposed to look like, then we have nothing to evaluate what's important, what steps I need to take, how to evaluate a particular situation and know the wisdom in that situation for what is most important to deal with. You got to know what the end product is supposed to look like. You got to have in your mind a very clear goal. So, having said that, let's do it. We just looked at Proverbs 1:7. That's very important for us. Fear of the Lord equals a teachable spirit. Now, stay in Proverbs 1. He has just, in verse 7, he has just rolled out the theme of the book, the way God wants us to relate to Him, and the knowledge that He wants to give us. Having just rolled that out, that a teachable spirit is the prerequisite for knowledge, having just rolled that out, let me point out to you that he goes directly from verse 7 into a very specific, applicable illustration. Verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Who's talking? Okay, God, but within the verse, who is it that's talking? The Father. Who's he talking to? The Son. What's his desire for his Son? Okay, the Father's instruction. What's his desire for his Son about his Father's instruction? Okay, yeah, okay, not just to obey it, but what does he say? Yeah, to, he says, hear it, and then what? Do not forsake it. Hear it and receive it. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Hear, my son, your Father's instruction. What might we call that for a son to hear his Father's instruction and not forsake it? To receive his Father's instruction and hold on to it. What might you call that? Obedience? Think about what we've just looked at.
A teachable spirit.
The Father's desire for his Son. It's for the Son to have a teachable spirit. Now, watch what he does. Watch what this Father does. Drop down to verse 10. He says, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. So he recognizes the presence of oppositional forces in his son's life. He recognizes that there is pressure and there is opposing instruction from sinners. And he says, son, reject following them. Listen to me. And listen to the instruction that he gives him. His father goes on. He says, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let's swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as they go down to the pit. We'll find all kinds of precious wealth. We'll fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. He's anticipating, he's telling his son, son, you might hear something like this. Son, here is what you will hear them say. Then he says, my son, do not walk in the path with them. Keep your feet from evil, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it's useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Here's what the father is doing. This father takes his son and he's teaching his son. He's instructing his son about the kind of friends that he needs to have. Or specifically about the kinds of friends that he doesn't need to have. And this father is showing his son, hey son, here's what you need to anticipate. Here's what they'll say. Hey son, here's where the end of that line goes. This is really what's underneath that. They say they want to get rich quick, but son, let me tell you what's really going on there. It's not just that they want to get rich quick. He says, son, they run to do evil. He said, what they're really trying to do is to do things that are terrible. And son, it might seem like fun at the beginning, but let me tell you what happens at the end. They don't know this, and you won't know this unless I told you, but they're lying in wait for their own blood. Let me tell you, son, here's the kinds of people that I'm talking about. This is what they're going to say. Here's why it's going to seem fun. But this is the end. This is what will happen. And he says, son, listen to me. I want you to hear my instruction and hold on to my instruction so that you don't have to go out here and learn things the hard way. If you will listen to me up front and not forsake my instruction, it will save you from having to go out and learn things and be hurt in the process. The father's desire is for his son to have a teachable spirit. And by the way, let me point this out real quick and then we're going to move on. But you cannot separate the father's desire for his son to have a teachable spirit from the father's responsibility to give wise instruction. You guys see that? If you want your son to have a teachable spirit, then having a teachable spirit means you've got to provide wise instruction. But the father's desire is for his son to have a teachable spirit. chapter 2, verse 1. Actually, somebody read, who would read 1 down through 4? Somebody read Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 down through 4. Who would read that? Okay, thanks, Steve. Stop right there. All right. Verse 1. What's the father's desire for his son? Teachable. It's the same thing, isn't it? It's the exact same thing. His desire for his son is to have a teachable spirit. My son, receive my words. Treasure. And by the way, every time we go to a new chapter, I want you to notice that it's the same principle, but it adds an extra dynamic to it. Here, in verse 1, it's not just listen and receive. Now he says, treasure. Treasure my commandments. Value my commandments. Recognize the wealth that you're getting in your father's instruction. Value that. Don't just listen to it and obey because you have to, because you don't want to get in trouble. No, value that. Realize that what you're getting is treasure. All right? And then he says in verse 3, not just to listen and hold on to and to treasure, but what is he adding on in verse 3 to this whole principle? Seek it. Yeah, seek it. That he is telling his son, listen, seek it out. If there's something that you got going on in your mind that you're wondering about, you're thinking about, come talk to me. Come find out. Hey, Dad, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Dad, what will happen down the road if I did this? He's saying, seek it out. Hey, by the way, who is the ultimate father in this passage? The Lord is. What else are we picking up? We're picking up how our Heavenly Father wants us to relate to Him. What does our Heavenly Father want in us? Hey, listen to what I'm saying. Hey, value, treasure what I'm saying. Hey, seek what I'm saying. How do we do that, by the way? Right here. Yeah, in the Word. All right, let me point something else out to you here in chapter 2. In chapter 2, not only do we get the same principle that the Father's desire for the Son is to have a teachable spirit, but we get the concept of valuing the Father's instruction. We get the concept of seeking the Father's instruction that we didn't have in chapter 1. But then notice in chapter 2, there is this condition. He says in verse 1, he says, if you will receive my words. In verse 3, if you cry for discernment. In verse 4, if you seek her as silver. Then look at verse 5. Then. There is this condition and response that we get this condition that says, hey, if you have a teachable spirit, then, watch what it says, verse 5, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity. Verse 12, drop down to verse 12. To deliver you from the evil way, verse 16. To deliver you from the strange woman, verse 20. So you will walk in the way of good men. Here's what's happening here. The father says, son, my desire is for you to have a teachable spirit. And if you do, that teachable spirit, look at what that teachable spirit will bring into their life. discern the fear of the Lord, discover the knowledge of God, deliver you from the evil way, deliver you from the strange woman, will lead you to walk in the way of good men. All of these things within this passage in chapter 2, all of those things that our children so desperately need. How's my son going to know the Lord? How's my son going to escape, the strange woman that is so prevalent in our culture today? How's my daughter going to escape the evil way that, Lord, we all know happens in our culture? How is my children going to go in the way of a good man? All these things that our children so desperately need, this passage puts it squarely as a result of a teachable spirit. If you will receive my words, if you will treasure my commandments, then to deliver you, so you will. Do you guys see that? This is incredible. All of these things that our children so desperately need is conditioned upon a teachable spirit. Now let me point one other thing out to you. Everybody with me? Let me point one other thing out to you. Look back at verse 5. The Father says in verse 1, if you will receive my words, treasure my commandments, verse 5, then you will discern the fear of the Lord. The very first result of a teachable spirit, the very first result is that the child will discern or will know or will understand the fear of the Lord. Let me tell you why that's significant. Here's what's happening here. Because what the Father is saying to the child is, son, listen to me. Son, receive my instruction. Value my instruction. Seek my instruction. And the result of that will be that the child will learn to fear the Lord. By learning to have a teachable spirit with his parents, the child is learning to have a teachable spirit before the Lord. Do you guys see that? The result of learning to be teachable with his parents is to learn to be teachable with the Lord. Chapter 3. Let me show you this played out. Are y'all hot? Man, I am too. Jesse, can you flip that one off? Thank you. All right. Chapter 3. Man, Jesse's like, man, it's hot in here. You know what? Flip it to cool. We'll fix this thing quick. Flip it over to cool. Yeah, all right. And when ice forms on Tyler's nose.
You saw that note on there.
I know it. Don't anybody tell anybody.
Shh. He's already seen it on camera.
No. He didn't even need the camera, man. He's taking a nap. He just woke up. Somebody touched with his lights. I know.
He's on the way up there, right?
Chapter 3. Look at this. He says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. What's his desire for the son? Teachable spirit. Now, let's keep watching. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. What's the Father's desire for the Son? In verse 1, a teachable spirit with the Father, right? But what is part of the Father's instruction? A teachable spirit with the Lord. Let me tell you how this thing is supposed to work. That our children, as our, and by the way, let me back up for a second with chapter 2. Not only is the father's desire for his son to have a teachable spirit, but in chapter 2, when it lists all of the results of having a teachable spirit, what is the child's greatest need? What's the child's greatest need? A teachable spirit. The father's desire for the son is to have a teachable spirit, and the child's greatest need is a teachable spirit. Chapter 2, all of those benefits, all of those results are conditioned on a teachable spirit. Then here in chapter 3, the father wants the son to have a teachable spirit with him, but part of his instruction then is that his son have a teachable spirit before the Lord. Let me help you see this. Our children, as they grow, when they're very young, they have almost complete supervision by who? By their parents, right? But as they get older, there is a spectrum to the point, most of the time when they're around 18, then what's going to happen? They're going to leave my home, aren't they? My children are going to leave our home. When that point comes, they have now gone from almost complete supervision by their parents to almost none. And so along the line starts out, our desire is for our children to have a teachable spirit, first with us, and as they get older, that teachable spirit gets handed off to their Heavenly Father. But they learn to have a teachable spirit with the Lord by the way that we teach them to relate to us. They learn to relate to the Heavenly Father by the way that they have learned to relate to their earthly father. And in chapter 3, we see this father, he starts off and he says, listen, he says, hear my instruction, but trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. And let the Lord direct your steps. Do you guys see that? And then along the line, and by the way, we got to talk to him about this. We got to tell our children, hey, do you know why I want you to listen to what I'm saying? Because one day you're going to leave my home and you're going to need to know how to listen and value and follow the Lord's instruction. And you're going to learn how to follow the Lord's instruction, your Heavenly Father's instruction, by the way that you follow my instruction now. You're going to learn to value your Heavenly Father's instruction by the way that you learn to value my instruction now, because I'm your earthly father. Chapter 4. Now, I told you every chapter adds a different aspect to the same principle. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. Let me point out to you one real quick detail here. Notice that now, in chapter 4, verse 1, now it's not my son, your father. Now it's broadened out, and now it is, O sons, all sons, whoever you may be, wherever you are. the instruction of not your father, but a father. He's broadened it out. This now is instruction now for sons in general. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Gain attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. By the way, guys, if our desire for our son is for them to have a teachable spirit, what responsibility does that mean for us? To teach them sound instruction. You cannot separate your desire for them to have a teachable spirit from your responsibility to teach wisdom. Cannot separate the two. Now, watch what he says in verse 3. When I was a son to my father, teach tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the word of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all you're acquiring, get understanding. Now, let's just walk through this passage here. There's a lot going on here. Look at verse 3. What aspect does verse 3 bring in here? Verse 3, it's the same desire for a teachable spirit, but now he brings in this multi-generational aspect to it. He says, son, you listen to what I'm saying, and what I'm teaching you is what I heard from my father. That we're going to come back to this when we get to methods in 2 weeks. We're going to come back to this very passage, because what's happening is we teach, we receive wisdom, and we turn around and we teach that same wisdom. What we receive, we give. Paul says in 1 Timothy, the things that you have learned from me, teach those to faithful men who will also be able to teach other men. What's that called? That's called discipleship. Do you know what we're doing? This is discipling our children. That's what we're doing. We're discipling our children. What we have been taught, and by the way, you don't have to have a godly earthly father to learn wisdom. Because what father do all of us have? You have a heavenly father. Son, what I'm getting from my father, I'm teaching to you. Now, you guys see that? That's how that works. But watch this. What was it that this father's father taught him that he's now teaching his son? What was the lesson? What was it? Look at verse 5. Wait. Look at verse 5. What does he say? What was the lesson? The lesson is, son, acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Why would he say it like that? Don't answer this. Let me just pose this rhetorical question to you. Why would he say it like that? Why would a child need to be told, son, acquire understanding? Do you have to acquire something that you already have? No, you don't. Here's what he's saying to his son. It's the same principle, the same goal, a teachable spirit. Here's what he's saying to his son. Son, you need to recognize that wisdom is something outside of yourself that you need to learn, that you need to gain. Wisdom is not something that you already have. Wisdom is something that you need to attain. Sydney, I'm sorry. You need to acquire understanding. You don't already have that. You need to acquire it. It's out here, and you need to acquire it. It's not something that you already have. That's the first lesson that this father's father taught him, and now he's teaching his father. The very first lesson. Now, wrapped up in that message, wrapped up in that lesson, have a teachable spirit, acquire wisdom, wrapped up in that is kind of the undertones of what we've already heard a little bit of. That there is within each of us and within each of our children, not a teachable spirit, but what kind of spirit? The spirit that says, I don't want to do what you told me to do. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want you to instruct me. I want you to let me do what I want to do. Because, or not because, but you see this in chapter 1. Son, when sinners entice you, don't go that way. He's recognizing there is something within his son that would draw him that way. Proverbs 3:5 acknowledges that there is a tendency within all of us to lean on our own understanding. See, a teachable spirit is the exact opposite of leaning on our own understanding. And there is a tendency within each of us, and there is a tendency within each of our own children to say, I already know what would be best for me to do in this situation. I don't want you to give me wisdom. I already have it. See? The father's desire is for his son to have a teachable spirit. The child's greatest need is for a teachable spirit. Now, let's stop right here for just a minute. Let me give you an illustration of something that I actually witnessed myself. You're going to think this is a silly illustration, but it's not. Man has 6-year-old son. And it's winter, January, right? And it's about 30 degrees outside, and his son is getting ready to go to school. And he says, son, don't you need to put your coat on? And his son, who is in short sleeve shirt, says, no, Dad, I don't need a coat. Son, it's 30 degrees outside. I think you need to put a coat on. No, Dad, I don't need a coat. The man said, you know what? It's not worth all the fussing that it would take. Fine, go on out. You know what's going to happen? He's going to get outside, and he's going to figure out for himself that it's cold anyway, and he'll put his jacket on, so there. Now, did his son end up wearing a jacket? But what did his son learn in that circumstance? He learned to what? He didn't need a teachable spirit because he could figure out on his own. See, this man, he didn't have the goal in mind. The goal in mind, the goal is, our desire is for our children to have a teachable spirit. In fact, their greatest need is for a teachable spirit. And with the goal in mind, the situation now becomes not just about a coat. The situation is much more important than a coat. The situation is now about whether the child will trust the father's instruction and receive it. And his son did not. And in fact, he was teaching his son to lean on your own understanding, which is the opposite of a teachable spirit. There is a parenting philosophy out there that says, hey, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to raise independently minded children. Right? I'm trying to raise children who will think for themselves. Now that sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? But independent mindedness and children who think for themselves, that also doesn't sound like a teachable spirit, does it? Let me offer you four words that puts it into perspective. And I want you to think back. We're not going to take time to go back to chapter 1, but I want you to think back to the circumstances in chapter 1. Remember what the Father said to the Son. The Father said, "Son, when sinners entice you, don't go with them." He said, "My son, listen to my instruction." So what that father in chapter 1 knew, that father knew that there were opposing forces that he wanted his son to be strong enough to counter. But he wanted his son to listen to his instruction. So a lot of times when you hear parents say, "I'm raising my children to be independently minded," what they're meaning is they're trying to keep their children from being dragged along by the wind of every peer pressure, right? Because we don't want our children to just be namby-pamby followers of everybody else that comes into their life and has a good argument. We want our children to be confident, right? We want our children to be able to critically think about what they're hearing and to recognize error and mistruth and lies and sin. We want our children to recognize that, right? But what happens is that if your goal is to create independent-mindedness, then you are losing the teachable spirit. We want our children to be able to not follow, to resist bad influences, but our children have to be able to recognize, hey, I need to acquire wisdom. It's not something I can figure out on my own. I have to have a teachable spirit. So let me offer you a couple of, just boil this down into four words. Number one, humble learners. The Lord says to us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. There is an element of humility there to recognize I can't understand everything the Lord wants me to know. I can't figure out wisdom on my own. And so we have to be, we as adults, and we are teaching our children to be humble learners. That we want our children for the rest of their life to learn to trust the Lord with all their heart and not lean on their own understanding. To seek the Lord's wisdom and instruction, right? But the second part of this is that we want them to be confident followers. We do not want our children to just be namby-pamby, wishy-washy followers of every influence in their life. We want them to be confident followers of the Lord. They are not independent thinkers because they are seeking the Lord and clinging to His wisdom and instruction, but they are able to resist the enticement of sinners, right? Not independent-mindedness, but confident followers. And by the way, confident followers of Christ are leaders of men. You guys see that? What did the Lord tell Joshua? Probably one of the best leaders of all time. Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Joshua, don't say one word that comes from your own understanding. Everything that comes from your mouth better come out of my word. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be careful to do all that is within it. And then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have success. Joshua, the Lord was telling Joshua, Joshua, what you need to be is a humble learner. You need to listen to what I'm saying. And you need to be a confident follower. Do everything in it. That's the goal for our children. I'm going to turn this AC off because I'm getting cold. Now, with this in mind, with this as the goal, to raise humble learners and confident followers, with that in mind, now we have something to evaluate every single situation on. Because now we can have a father who, when he tells his child to put their coat on, now we have a rubric to evaluate his response. Is my child going to trust me and receive my instruction and follow it? Or is my child going to stiff arm my instruction and lean on his own understanding? And now we understand what the real issue is. The real issue is not the coat. Now I have an issue where I need to teach my son to value my instruction and to have a teachable spirit. 18-month-old sitting in a high chair. And they're sitting at dinner table, and the 18-month-old takes a handful of Cheerios and drops them off into the floor. And mom and dad laugh, and they say, "No, no, don't do that." And he looks at him, and he's 18 months old, and he says, "No." And he drops another handful of Cheerios onto the floor. And mom and dad say, "No, no, don't do that. No." And he drops them onto the floor again. And you know what? You're tempted to think, you know, it's just Cheerios. Don't you love your child enough to just pick them up and not make a fuss about the Cheerios? But with this in mind, as our end goal, now we know this is not about Cheerios. My son is 18 months old, and he knows what I'm telling him to do. And my 18-month-old has just leaned on his own understanding and rebelled against my instruction. Now, here's the benefit. Now, listen to me. Here's the benefit to this. Because when they're 18 months old, what are the consequences of having an unteachable spirit when you're 18 months old? Cheerios on the floor, right? The consequences are negligible. Would we as parents, would we not want to teach our children incredibly valuable lessons when there are almost no consequences? Yes. These lessons can be taught at home when they're young, and there's absolutely, almost absolutely zero consequences. But let me tell you what happens. When they're 18 months old and they're dropping Cheerios off the floor, and we don't have the goal in mind, and we just think it's funny, and we pick the Cheerios up, and everything's okay. And then they're 6 years old, and it's a coat, and you think, he'll figure it out. But then they're 16 years old, and it's a car. And now the consequences have gone through the roof, because you're talking about people's lives. And whether he obeys your instruction or not might just save his life. And so now parents get set, they get scared. And you know what happens? All the freedom that the child got at 18 months old and the freedom that the child got at 16 months old, now he has not had a teachable spirit all along the way. He's rebelling against his father's instruction, and the father gets scared and takes his keys away because the child doesn't have a teachable spirit. And you know what that child does? Oh, man, he hates his dad for it. What would have happened, though, if at 18 months old we have this goal in mind, and at 18 months old we teach our children to have a teachable spirit? And at 6 years old, now, probably what will happen, not every time, but you know what? You do the job at 18 months old, and then at 6 years old, it's much easier because they've had the training to have a teachable spirit all along. And then at 16 years old, now they do have a teachable spirit. And not just a teachable spirit toward you, but at 16, they have a teachable spirit toward the Lord. And now you know what you can do with that freedom? Man, you can open it up. Why? Because you trust them. Because they've had a teachable spirit, not just with you, but now before the Lord. Because you know what the goal is. A humble learner and a confident follower, and you know how to evaluate the circumstances all the way down the line. And by the way, let me just add this in there. But if our goal is a teachable spirit, what opportunity does that now afford us with our children when they don't have a teachable spirit? And at 6, probably not at 18, but at 6, Dad says, hey, put your jacket on, and you find out later that he didn't. Now at 6 years old, you can sit them down and explain to them, son, you didn't trust me. I told you that it was cold, and I told you you needed a coat, but son, you didn't trust me, and what you did, you did your own thing. You leaned on your own understanding. And son, you know what? Here's why that scares me. Because son, with me here at home, man, nobody got hurt, praise God. But you know what? Here at home, you're learning, by the way you relate to me, you're learning to relate to your Heavenly Father. And son, it scares me to think that if you will rebel against my instruction, that you will do the same thing to your Heavenly Father. In fact, your Heavenly Father's instruction is to obey your parents. Son, you just sinned against the Lord. Not just me, but son, that was God's instruction for you, and that's called sin. And son, what are we going to do about that? Oh, Dad, that's bad. You know, the wages of sin is death, son. That's real bad. Son, let me tell you something. I love you, and you know what? Your Heavenly Father loves you. And let me tell you about what he did because you did this. Let me tell you what Jesus had to do because you didn't obey me. He died for you so that you could be forgiven. This affords us the opportunity to bring the gospel into their life. Why? Because you know they're going to sin. They're going to. That's why we have to teach them, because naturally speaking, they're going to do this. And it gives us the opportunity to bring the gospel into their life and then to show them from the gospel how to relate to their Heavenly Father by the way that we teach them to relate to us. That's the goal. You guys see that? This is super important. Super important. If we do not have this goal in mind, we will miss lots of opportunities. And along the way, we will make our children miserable and we will make ourselves miserable. Now, man, we got like 15 minutes. Flip over with me. Let's keep going. There's a couple of other aspects about the goal that I want to share with you. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Wait a minute. That's not right. That is not right. Proverbs 23, verse 26. Now watch this. This verse gets me every time. I'm telling you, it gets me every time. Proverbs 23, verse 26. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Now, we started off in chapter 1, and we had a father. And the father's desire was simply for his son to have a teachable spirit, simply for his son to receive and value and even seek out his father's instruction. We get almost to the end of the book here, and now watch what has happened to this father's desire for his son and for this father's relationship with his son. Now he says, son, don't just receive and value and seek my instruction. Now he says, son, give me your heart. And now you have a son who has complete, absolute trust in his father. and he has complete trust in his Father's wisdom and in his Father's ability to shape what is important, to shape his thoughts, to shape his goals, to guide his steps. You have this son now who has absolutely complete trust in his Father, and a son who delights in the way of his Father. I want to be like that man. And what you have is not just a son with absolute trust in his Father, but listen to this. You got a dad. In this verse, you got a dad who is strong enough and who is confident enough in the wisdom that he has taught, and who is secure enough in his relationship with the Lord that now is able to take his son's heart and shape it, and teach him, and guide him, and instruct him, and to raise a godly man, and who can allow his son, look at my life. I'm not perfect, but son, the Lord's taught me a lot. And the son delights in his Father's ways. Oh, man. That's the goal. That's the goal. Here's the question that we should be asking. Will it work? Will it work? I mean, who's to say that just because I teach my son to have a teachable spirit when he's 18 months and when he's 16 years old, who's to say that when he's 16, he ain't just going to go off and do whatever he wants to do anyway? Because that's what 16-year-olds do. Right? Proverbs 22. The goal. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, let me tell you how that verse is often interpreted. Most of the time, that verse is interpreted to mean, you know what, you do the best job you can when your kids are young, and they're going to grow, and they're going to hit about 16, and then for about the next 14 years, they're going to sow their wild oats, and they're going to try out everything under the sun, and they're going to go their own way, and then you know what, when they're about 30, they'll get married, and then they'll settle down. They've been a train wreck for 14 years, but we're going to take this verse to mean that they'll come back and they'll settle down and they'll be good people. What? That sounds horrible. If I thought that my son, that I was investing all of this in my son, and my son was going to go be a train wreck for 14 years and come back with all kinds of addictions and scars and children all over everywhere, and oh man, and all this horrible... All this horrible pain that he has brought into his own life, but yet he's going to come back when he's 30. If I thought that's what God promised, man, I'll be honest with you. That doesn't sound like a very good promise to me. That sounds like a terrible promise. Why even try? And in fact, it seems like God is promising blessing on the exact opposite of what his desire for us is to be. So let me give you what I feel like is a more clear interpretation of this verse. The word train has to do with, just like what we were talking about from Ephesians chapter 6, the word train is activity. It is exerting a force, just like you would train a horse to ride with a saddle on its back. There is some training that has to happen with our children. It's not just providing a safe environment and a good education. No, it is shaping their hearts. It's teaching them training them actively to be humble learners and confident followers, teaching them to have a teachable spirit. You train a child in the way that he should go. And by the way, all throughout the book of Proverbs, what is the way that he should go? A teachable spirit. What does the Lord want from us? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and let him direct your paths. That's the way he should go. It's consistent all through the book of Proverbs. When it says the way he should go, that's what it means, because he's been talking about it now for 22 chapters. You train a child in the way he should go, and then it says, even. So when he says even, the idea there is that something is about to happen that you would not expect. You would expect if you take a bicycle tire, and I were to take this bicycle tire and I were to roll it down there to Mark, you would expect that as soon as I turn my hands loose, what's that tire going to do? And it's never going to make it to Mark, right? That's what you would expect to happen. In this verse, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is pointing out, hey, the expectation is that you train a child in the way that he should go, and when you take your hands off of him, what's he going to do? Wow, he's going to go everywhere you want him to go. The verse says, even when he is old. Now, let me help you understand what that word means is, what that word old is. The word old, the Hebrew word there, that is used a lot of times in Scripture, and it is used from everything from a very old man about to die to an adolescent. It's used a whole variety of things. Here's the point. When this verse says, even when he is old, what it means is, even when he's not a child anymore. So you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's not a child anymore, he won't depart from it. This verse says nothing about coming back. This verse does not even mention the concept of coming back. This verse says, will not depart. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, when he's not a child anymore, he will not depart from it. Now, let me tell you, what happens is that we see children who do go astray. Let me tell you what the old guys need to do. And I have shared this with old guys on our Tuesday morning Bible studies. Rather than for the old guys to say, well, I tried my best and it just didn't work out. Because, first of all, I cannot imagine that a Christian man would ever say, I've tried my best. Nah, you're not going to be perfect. Rather than for the old guys to say, I tried my best and it just didn't work out, because that's not scriptural. Now, let's go back. And the old guys need to say to us young guys, hey, here's some things I did wrong. Here's some things that I missed. Here's some things I wish I had seen when I was your age. Because you know what? If my children, if they don't serve the Lord, and I'm standing up here recognizing the possibility that that might happen, because I'm not a perfect dad. If they do, it's only the grace of God. If they don't, it's because I'm not a perfect dad. But I am holding on to the fact, oh man, first of all, what's my relationship with the Lord need to be like? Teachable. Oh, I mean, not just teachable, but seeking and valuing. I mean, treasuring, clinging to the Lord. God, you have got to teach me. And then imparting what God teaches me, training my children with that and teaching them to be teachable, and ultimately handing their teachable spirit off to the Lord. And God's word says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, when he's not a child, he'll still be on it. We got to cling to that. We cling to that hope. But you could drive yourself mad fearing what might happen when they turn 16. You can't think about that. Because they're not 16, they're 8, and they're 10, and they're 5, or they're 2. And I got to keep the goal in mind, and I got to evaluate every situation in light of this goal, and I need to understand what it is that my children need from me. And as I'm seeking the Lord, and as He teaches me wisdom, and as I'm training my children, the Holy Spirit says, you take your hands off and watch, and they'll go. Man, that's good. We need that. I need that. You guys see that? That's the goal. That's the goal. Now, let me tell you what we're going to do when we come back next week. When we come back next week, we are going to look at a number of Proverbs. Let me just tell you, I just give you a preview what this whole thing hinges on. This whole thing hinges on the father's relationship with the Lord. All of it. It all hinges on that. We're going to come back next week and we're looking at, man, these Proverbs, they are specific. We're going to look at the father. What these passages say about a father. And then we're going to come back 2 weeks from tonight, and we're going to look at the methods, because we're talking about the goal, but Scripture gives us some very specific, and I know you're all thinking, oh, that's when we're going to talk about the rod. It's more than that. Yeah, okay, there's that. And there's some specific instruction about that, but it's more than just that. There is a lot of instruction that we're given about methods. How do we teach them with these goals in mind? And then we're going to come back and look at motivation. Scripture gives us a picture of what the end looks like. It really does. It gives us a very clear picture of what the end looks like if we follow this or if we don't. And I will tell you, it's some strong motivation. Father, oh God, I ask you for the hearts of my children and our children. God, I ask you to teach me. Because I so desperately need you to. Oh, Father, I pray, God, I pray, Lord, that as we look at your word, that you, Lord, you, through your Holy Spirit, would impart your wisdom to us. God, I pray that you would bring fruit from that as we teach our children. Pray that you'd bring fruit in our children's lives. God, I ask you, right here in our church family, God, I pray that you would raise up boys and girls who know you and who love you and who seek your instruction and who lean on you with all their hearts and not on their own understanding, and who acknowledge you in all their ways, and Father, whose steps you are guiding. God, I ask you for children like that. God, I thank you that because Jesus came and died on a cross and rose to new life, I praise you that we can be called your children. And God, through him, we can know you as our Father at all. And through him and because of him, we can be taught by you at all. God, we praise you for Jesus. God, we praise you that we can know you as our Father. In Jesus' name.